Psalms 146. Talking about his faithfulness and praising the Lord. Because it starts out immediately, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Who else should you praise?
When you praise your children.
Children.
Or your spouse when they've done something over the top or some, you know.
Have you ever praised anyone and had faith in someone and you lost it?
Yes.
Felt like you were betrayed?
Well, when you die.
A doctor?
Well,
that's true.
That's true. Yeah,
that's true. Because, I mean, you think throughout life, it's you confide in someone as a friend, and then you turn around and find out that what you confided in them has been shared with others, and you didn't want it to be that way. Does that take you down a little bit to where I really don't want to confide in anyone anymore? I'll just keep it all to myself.
Then it makes you not want to ask people to pray for you. Because you, if you tell them...
You're opening up.
I'm having marital problems, financial problems, you know, and then it does get that way.
Because the writer has a statement. He says, only God is worthy of our trust all the time. Therefore, only God is worthy of our worship. But we've talked in other lessons about how we do get involved and we do worship other things that we think are important to us in our lives. But in verse 1, right at the end, where it says, praise the Lord, O my soul, he there is telling himself, God is the one that I need to look to. He is the one that I need to praise to. Now, if you bring it into, let's say, the church, we have worship leaders. You have the pastor and you have the music leader. They're both, quote, worshipers. They're there to lead the worship. But do we ever sit back and think that they're here to worship too? Not just perform a duty, not just perform a sermon, because they're human beings just like us. They have struggles in their lives. And it could be that a message that, say, the pastor brings might be something that's on his heart and he shares it with us. It helps someone in the congregation, but someone else could go to him and start a conversation and start sharing, and he has someone that he can confide into also. Should we take it to heart that we're to only praise the Lord in the good times? We're to praise Him all our life. Because can you look back and see where you've gone through a difficult time in your life, a difficult struggle, but when it was all over, let's say, your faith was strengthened, you had more, let's say, you felt like you had more of a presence with the Lord because you confided, you trusted in Him.
Well, He's the only one we can truly trust.
That's true. That's true. No.
His word's always true. His promise is always true. Now, when you're going through something and it's really a difficult situation, it is, I mean, you're honest, be honest about it. It's hard to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for putting this sickness in my life, or taking the person I love, or me losing my job. It's, you know, it's just, it's hard. But like you said, in the end, though, when you find, when the drama, I guess, in your life has come back down to just being normal, and you do look back, you see where he did. He was there all the time.
He guided you through it.
Because you think, how did I get the? You know, you think back. Mm-hmm. You think, how did I get through that?
Yeah. But you can with the Lord.
Yeah. And you say,
mm-hmm.
God is there supporting.
And then you wonder, too, how do people that aren't Christians, that don't believe, how do they get through some of the things that we've all been through or we are yet to face? How are they going to get through it without having a supreme being to guide to do and help you get through it?
That's what I wonder. How do people get through all these things?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how do you, you know, and then you made a statement last week, and we've all been in situations too where you've heard somebody that maybe is not a believer, like standing in the hall of a hospital, and you hear people say, the first thing they say is, oh my God, mm-hmm. you know, like, where are you? Why am I in this?
Because if I said, if you promise to do something faithfully for the rest of your life, is that a serious matter that you're undertaking?
Like a commitment, is that what you want?
Mm-hmm. If you promised today that you would never utter another bad word against one of your friends, co-workers, or anything like that the rest of your life,
you know,
how serious would you take it?
We did that when we all got married.
That's true. Till death
or
worse. Till death do us part. That's true. You made that commitment. Do people take it serious?
Some
don't.
People have things right away then when they pray.
Yeah, no. No.
He puts you through trials.
To test you. Mm-hmm. Because when he says there, I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Does that tell you that you're just going to praise the Lord while you're here on this earth? You're going to praise Him in heaven too. Because, because in Revelations chapter 5, verses 11 through 13, it says, then I looked and heard the voices of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. So you'll still be praising Him in heaven. It's not just while you're here. But do we have warnings? Does He send us warnings sometimes? Like, I'll read verses 3 through, let's say, 5 or 6, it says, do not put your trust in princes and mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground, and on that very day, their plans come to nothing. So, who do we put our trust in and try to depend upon to get us through that can leave us?
Lord, His Son Jesus.
Will He ever leave us? No. Do we look at, okay, we'll just take a sports figure, for instance, like the past couple of weeks there's been an incident where a man who coaching young men professing to be a godly Christian, something came up in his past that nobody knew about. He admitted it, but his coaching is gone. He has his family still. He has his friends. But if I was a young man following his direction and I looked to him, how would I feel right now? Would I feel disappointed? Would I feel like he let me down because I was trying to model my life after him?
He let the past get through him.
Mm-hmm.
You've
got to forgive and let go of
the past.
It's
hard to do, but you have to do it. But we see that too on a different, like going back to the commitment to being married. We've all experienced friends that they got married and they were going to be married forever and they were just a great couple. And then he or her, but one of them, and the bottom falls out. We see that in our own lives, in our personal relationships. It doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, in the newspaper. We've seen people that we never thought were divorced.
Mm-hmm.
And the disappointment that you have for the couple, because they stood before in a church before God just like we did and made that commitment to work through it.
Mm-hmm.
They get out in the world and they start knowing the world and
But if we go back to the very beginning of time, did Eve trust God when he told her, you and Adam are not to eat from this tree? So it started instantly. There was indecisiveness.
But I've always wondered, why didn't Adam say, no, we can't do this, and he'll
here. Good question.
Why did he not step up and be the man and say, we're not doing this?
Because I think he believed that she was instructed and he was following instructions. So.
You got out of that.
Easy. But what do you really believe that people need the most? Do we need education? Do we need the government's help? Everybody possibly could always use some financial help, but who's responsible for that? We're to trust that all of that's going to be taken care of. Because in verse 4 it says, when his breath leaves him, talking about a noble person, that person returns to the ground, and any significance that, quote, let's say leadership at that point is taken with him. His legacy may stay, but his ability to lead is gone. You don't have that person to look towards anymore. So we go back to the question, why are people tempted to trust in humans than trust in God? Is it
because point a while ago, we're praying and you want something faster. If I come to you and ask you for something, and you can either say yes or no or give it to me right then.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if it's something I need to pray about, and you pray, and I don't get the answer right then, or I don't get what I need right then, it was easier to ask you than it was to ask him.
You said something one Sunday. You've got to be obedient.
That's
and you've
right.
got to be patient.
But see,
and
that's what,
mm-hmm.
if we ask a human, like if I come and ask you to give me $10, and you can reach in your pocket and give me the $10 because I'm hungry and I need it. If I pray to the Lord and ask him to send somebody or send me food, it might be tomorrow or the next day or the next day, and I'm still hungry. So you've satisfied something immediately, whereas I didn't wait on an answer because I didn't know that right behind me was somebody to help me.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I come to church today and I'm hungry but I came to hear the word, you were going to feed me. So see, you don't get, it's, the prayers are not that answer sometimes for us. That's the
It's also like you pray for something. You ask the Lord for, you know, you pray about something
And I'm so guilty of this myself. You give the Lord something, and the first thing you know, you've taken
you
it
take
back
it
and, do it your, try to do it yourself.
Mm-hmm. Or you're guilty of, I mean, human. You pray for something like your child's salvation, you know, something like that, and it just drags on, and you don't ever see anything. So then you start saying, well, why am I even praying about it? And Lord, her child did this, or her husband did this, or they had this. Why am I sitting down here all by myself, and you can't do anything for me? And we're guilty of that. We
mm-hmm.
don't. I mean,
he's going to see how much faith
mm-hmm.
you have in him.
Mm-hmm. And it's a human, and that's how come we are so different than him.
Mm-hmm.
He's not like that. He never was like that. He never will be that way, and that's why you kind of think of that. We're a challenge to him sometimes.
There's only one perfect person walking this earth, and that's Jesus.
That's right.
And nothing else will be perfect.
Because are there dangers in trusting another person for your security?
Yes.
They'll let you down.
You.
No.
Nope.
Nope. Mm-hmm. Only you can save yourself. But I go to the verses 6 and 7. These are pretty interesting. It goes back to verse 5. It says, blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. Now, if we go on and read verses 8 and 9, it says, the Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the way of the wicked. Now, if you look into those verses, what are some actions that you see that God has done that would just make you look to him a little bit harder?
Well, I was an orphan. Took care of me.
Took care of mm-hmm, the fatherless, took care of the widows.
When they were coming out of the 40, you know, the coming out of the land to the new land, he gave them food.
Yep.
And he provides for us.
He freed his people from prison or come there. He provided food.
And their clothes lasted 40 years.
That's why. But it says, and he loves the righteous.
Mm-hmm.
But he never stopped loving those people that were moving.
No.
That never changed. They did in their mind sometimes, but he continued to love them regardless.
Because go back to Genesis, once God was through creating everything, creation, did he just walk away? I'm through. Nope. Because if you look at it, creation, yeah, okay. Some people argue that it was Big Bang happened and that's how Earth got here.
It amazes me, things that I've seen, places I've been,
that
and like the mountains and all that,
and the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
The oceans, it didn't just happen.
No.
And then when you think about the dark, you know, when somewhere it's so dark you can't even see your hand in front of you, and then all of a sudden there's the light,
mm-hmm.
the moon and the stars or the sun.
Mm-hmm. Because
I sit out on my back porch and watch the sun go down, and it is beautiful. Sometimes it'll be blue and lavender or pink and lavender, and
mm-hmm.
the way it comes through the trees, and you know, and it's something he's given us to enjoy.
To enjoy. Mm-hmm. Because he's remained faithful after that.
Just the human body. There's no way to put together a human body
mm-hmm.
for it to work like it does.
But does, even in that, I mean, it's a little more prevalent in our world today, and it was back then too. The writer calls it sinful humanity. There are people who are exploiting the weak, taking advantage of those who are not as fortunate as others. But does God forget those people? No. Mm-hmm. He provides food to the hungry. We help our church through our kit, the clothes called the clothes closet and the food pantry.
And he provides through the shelters.
Mm-hmm.
And the church is all bread.
Does he forget those? Never forgets those who don't look towards him. You could say they're blind. They're spiritually dead. But how many times have you seen someone see the light, so to speak, and they come back a new person? He's there for them. We talked about he freed prisoners. You know, we go back to Daniel in the lion's den. He restored him. He took Paul away. But he also, it tells us that he doesn't forget they call it the aliens or the fatherless or the widows. Because if you look at that, this writer kind of puts out who is more vulnerable in society. Is it a strong, healthy family with the father, mother, and children all there? Or is it, just like in this class, a lonely widow who's home by herself, quote, doesn't have any friends, and you get a phone call, and somebody's trying to trick you to donate some money? People are exploiting people like that. But if we look at all of that, talking about how he protects us, I mean, the last verse, and you know, this book is over 2,000 years old. It says, "The Lord reigns forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations." And the last words are the same as the first words: praise the Lord. Praise Him for His faithfulness. Because I read this, he closes with this little statement. He's talking about God. He does so many things that are, let's just say, beyond our ability. There are things that God does that we couldn't do on our own. Does he take another human being and perform this through them? You have pastors of churches. Their calling is to share the Word of God. He's using them each and every day to share His Word. But if we talk about human leaders, away from the secular side of it, he says he only accomplishes things through human leaders, but only those who are willing to submit to him and his agenda. Because we've talked about before, but how many times have people tried to take things upon themselves and do it all themselves and fail? But then you look at the other side and another person is trying to accomplish the same thing, the same goal, but their agenda is looking to the Lord for guidance and servant leadership, and you say they're successful, but their goal is met. So we have to trust in Him for everything. We have to praise Him for it too. Words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.